are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
It's my pleasure this morning to introduce Pastor Bruce Plummer from Christ Community Church in Brockport. He's been a great friend of Joy and the GNOC, and his church has supported this building and what goes on in here for many, many years. So let's welcome Pastor Bruce as he brings our word this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, first of all, there's a lot of firsts for me here. I don't think I've ever worshiped outdoors like this, but this is great. Don't you think this is good? I mean, look at that. The moon's setting and the sun's rising. That's kind of cool. I love the amen beeps over here. That is awesome. That's a first for me. Yes. Isn't that great? I just feel like, oh, man. And then to learn that it is actually Rice Pudding Day and Book Lovers Day all in the same Sunday. Come on, is this good or what? This is really good. All right, let's start with our text for the day. How many of you love the Bible? Oh. There's a gift that God has given to us. So many gifts, but yet there's a gift that he's given to us. It's the scriptures. We're able to read the word of God. We can know the mind and heart of God in a book that we can hold. Come on, is that good? So here's the text for the day. It's from Psalms 105, beginning in verse 16 to 19. I'll explain it as I read it. Moreover, this is the Lord himself. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Keep that in mind as we talk today. You know, I know you've just begun to study, focus study on a spirit-led life, what a spirit-led life, spirit-empowered life looks like. And when the Lord Jesus told us that he would send us his spirit, well, some of us think of that as a one-time, it just happened once. Happened once in history, happened once maybe in our life. And the Spirit was given to us, and here we are. But that's not how things work. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us and works in us on a continual basis right on through not just this life, but on into the next one. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't just come to sit in a corner. The Holy Spirit comes to be at work in you, to will and to do of his good pleasure. So aren't you glad that there's someone that's working on your behalf, whether you like it or not? Yeah, whether you like it or not. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has a job to do, if you will. His job is this: to conform you and I to the image of his Son. Anybody here want to be a little bit more like the Lord Jesus? Don't you want to be like him? All of us think, rightly so. He's unattainable. We could never be just like him. But wouldn't you like to be more like him? You know, the way you interact with people, the way you do things, the way you move through life. Wouldn't you like to be just like the Lord Jesus? Aren't you amazed at how calm he was in crazy situations? Situations that shouldn't say calm, but he was so cool and so smooth. People tried to throw him over a cliff. He just walked through the crowd, walked away. There were so many times where he was challenged in ways that you and I would fold up in. And he was just so strong. I want to be like him. I'd love to be like him. You'd love to be like him. And the Holy Spirit has been sent to conform us to that image, to be like him. So let's just always agree in our hearts every single day that we're going to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because if he's doing that in us, well, hey, I want to work with what he's doing. I want to cooperate with what he's doing. I want to make it just as effective, his work in me, just as effective as it can possibly be, so I can be just as much like Jesus as I possibly can. The Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-led life, has that purpose. The Spirit always leads us toward the image and the work of Jesus to reveal the person of Jesus. And collectively, we do that. See, the hope of this messed up world is that the Lord Jesus would be revealed. Would be revealed. And you know how God does it? This is the most amazing part of him. The way that God works, the way that God reveals himself to the world, yeah, he does it independently. Yes, he does it sovereignly, but you know how he mainly does it? He does it through you and me. He does it through people. When he fed the 5,000, did Jesus stand up there in the front and pass out bread and fish? No, he gave it to his disciples to do. And on it went. God always gives the work of his Spirit into the hands of humans. Ah, that could be a sermon in itself. Okay, I'm going to ask you to say something with me. Are you feeling responsive today? Is this an interactive service? All right. I just want you to say this. I am Joseph. Come on, say it nice and loud. I am Joseph. Now, you know, you're sitting there going, no, I'm Bruce, and you're, you know, Sue, you're, no. Just hang in there with me for a few minutes. I am Joseph. I'll tell you why we say that in just a couple of minutes. Have you ever prayed, I got a question for you, have you ever prayed, Lord, would you please increase my faith? Did you ever pray that prayer? Did you ever do that? Now, that's a good prayer to pray. It really is a good prayer to pray. It's a dangerous prayer to pray, but it's a good prayer to pray because God likes to answer that prayer. But here's the news flash. You ready for the news flash? God works your whole life long to increase your faith, whether you ask him to or not. And that's the truth. Faith pleases God. Do you like making God happy? Live in faith, operate in faith, become someone who's greater in faith than you ever were before. And God is, it pleases him when you live that way. Now there's a great many examples of faith-filled believers, their lives recorded in the Bible for us, not just so you could admire them, but so you could be them. Do you know the Bible is not a book of exceptions? It's a book of examples. Do you know that? It's a book of examples so that you and I could be them in our own circumstances and in our own day. And there is, and I'm going to hone in on this for the remainder of our time, there is a universal process that we all go through to increase our faith. God brings us through the same process, every last one of us, to increase our faith. It doesn't matter who, the specific circumstances will change, the time, the geography, that'll all be a little bit different, but the universal process that God uses to increase our faith is the same for you as it is for me, as it was for Joseph. We can see it very clearly in the life of Joseph. Some of you are probably familiar with that story, and if you're not, don't worry. I'll just walk you through it. Joseph was the favored son of Jacob, one of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. And he wasn't the eldest son. He was at the time. He was the youngest son. He ended up having a younger brother. But he was the youngest son. And his brothers had a hard time with the fact that dad favored Joseph in ways that he should never have favored Joseph. You know what I'm talking about? You know, he favored him and everybody knew it. His brothers had a hard time with that. But tension reached its peak when teenage Joseph had a couple of dreams. Now, let me tell you, those dreams that he had were really the word of God. It was exactly what God had in mind for Joseph. These two dreams, they were prophetic messages, and Joseph, remember this now, Joseph heard the word of the Lord. It came to him in dreams, but he heard the word of the Lord. He had a message that came directly from God. Keep that in mind. Now the dreams, when you put them together, told Joseph that he would be elevated to a position where his family, actually his parents and his brothers, would actually bow down to him. He would be in such a high position that that would happen. And teenage Joseph thought it was very cool to share that openly with everybody else. How do you think that went over? We know it didn't go over very well. His unprepared family, well, you know. But as it turns out, God did eventually place Joseph at a position of great authority, but not nearly yet. There's a process. He was in that process, God's process of growing his faith. So part one, and there are three parts to this. Part one in God's process of growing faith in you and in me is this: God speaks his word and gives a vision of the future, your future. God speaks his word. Everybody say, I'm Joseph. Because God has spoken to you. You've read the Bible, right? You've read some of it. Guess what? That's the word of God. God has spoken to you. You may have experienced confirmed prophecy, or in some way in prayer or in your relationship with God, God has impressed you with something that comes right from him. And it's his word, it's your future. He's impressing you with what he has spoken. But the universal process, in the universal process, God speaks. He speaks to you. But the second part of this universal process is this. And listen carefully. God, on purpose, takes you down a path that does not seem to correspond to what God has spoken. This is universal now. God takes you down a path that does not correspond seemingly to what he has spoken to you. For Joseph, it looked like this. Joseph was sent out to his brothers. Dad sent him out to his brothers who were taking care of the sheep in a very far-flung place. So Joseph had to go find them. And it was far enough away from Dad, I think, that they felt a little bit like unaccountable for their actions. So they got even with Joseph for all his years of bragging and being the favorite. They sold him into slavery to a passing band not raiders, but salesmen, traveling slave salesmen, I guess. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Egypt became a slave to the head of Pharaoh's guard. A slave. Gee, that doesn't sound like bowing to anybody, bowing down to me here, does it? To you? It doesn't look like it. Nah, Joseph, here he is. He's a slave. Now, he did well as a slave, and he began to run the household. His gifts were used, but in a place where he never thought he would be. And then, by virtue of a false accusation, he ends up in prison. I mean, he goes from slavery to a prison, and prisons then especially were not very nice. They were kind of darker and dingier and wetter and more disease-filled than the ones we have now. And then he is forgotten. He's forgotten by someone who had the opportunity perhaps to speak well of him to Pharaoh and get him out of prison. And you know, Joseph was not down there for a week. It wasn't a bad month. He was in that prison, in that place. And if you count the years of slavery as well as the years of prison, he was there for years. Years. Now what happens when you're in a place where you don't think you belong or never envisioned yourself being and you're there for years? What do you start thinking? How did I get here? How did this happen? does God hate me? Look at me. I'm a nobody in Nowheresville. I've got gifts. I can run the prison, but you know what? I'm still a prisoner. And time has gone by. And that word, those dreams, that word that was spoken back there, I don't even know how to relate to that any longer. Interesting. But then part three of God's process of building faith is this. God, on a seemingly random day, not random to God, but seemingly random to us, fulfills the word that he has spoken. For Joseph, it worked like this. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he is elevated to the prime minister position in the nation of Egypt, one of the, if not the, most advanced nation of that time. Whoa! He went from zero to hero, as they say. He went from the depths of prison to the heights of authority and responsibility. Only Pharaoh was above him. And eventually, interestingly, Joseph's family bows down to him in his elevated role. When that many years long fulfillment came, God used Joseph to save the nation of Israel through a famine that was, well, a famine that would have taken all of their lives. Remember, these are the steps of the process that God brings each one of us through. The word comes. The word of God comes. God speaks. The word of God tests you. We'll talk about that word test in a few minutes. And then the word of God is fulfilled. And if you look through the Bible, you will see every single person that you can read about their life. They have gone through this same process. And you know what? You are going through that same process. You have gone through that same process. And you will go through that same process. Because this is how God grows faith. This is what the Spirit-filled life does for us. It brings us to a place where we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ by God working in us in this way. That's the process of faith building in the Spirit-led life, whether we ask for it or not. Yeah. God is so interested in us growing in faith that he walks everybody through this same process. The dates, the circumstances will be different, will be individual, but the process and the results will be the same. So of those three steps, let me ask you a very obvious question. Of those three parts of God's process, which do you think is the easiest? I don't know, but I can tell you what the hardest is. The hardest is that second one. That second part, the word testing you part. The, hey, I'm a slave now. Hey, I'm in prison now. Hey, I'm forgotten now. And all you can do when you're there is to trust that what God said would come to pass, but you have no idea how it's going to happen. No idea. Some people, at that point in the process, give up in bitterness. And they never seemingly make it past that point. Yeah, it's a risk for God to put us in these situations. But if you are where you thought you'd never be, and God has spoken something to you, a word to you, and I know he has, then this. Trust him. Trust in God himself. Lay that word at his feet. Or deny that he's faithful or able to perform that word. You've got a choice. you find yourself in a spot where you never thought you'd be, that doesn't correspond with the word that God gave you, and you just kind of forgotten about that word now because it's, you know, that's so not my life now. Guess what? You need to pull that word back out, so to speak. You need to get it in front of your eyes and your heart. And you need to say this. You need to say, God, you're faithful. I'm not faithful, but you're faithful. Your word will come to pass. You can do the impossible and bring me into everything that you have spoken. You can do that, and you will do that. See, that's how Joseph's faith was grown. Because you read in Psalm 105 that the word of the Lord tested him. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the SATs, or we're not talking about final exams somewhere. Don't think about school with this. Because that word tested is literally the melting of metal for purification. That's what that word tested is. And that place where we are, in that sort of second part of the process of God growing our faith, is a place where God melts your metal and the impurities come to the surface and are taken off as a refiner would refine gold. The word of the Lord tests you because God said this and I'm looking at this and I don't know how to make those two the same. But you know what? I believe that God is true. He's real. He's faithful. He's powerful. He can do anything. So he can fulfill this word in spite of what I see. That's called testing. Let me bring it a little closer to home. Some of you are in a place you never thought you would be, doing something you're not sure corresponds to God's word or will, something he's spoken to you. Let me encourage you. It's not permanent. It's not your destination. It's a way station on the way to where God is taking you. It's meant to purify you and to grow your faith. If you're in that spot, and you will be if you're not right now, if you're not today, you will be. Tell God he's faithful. Say, God, you're faithful. Say, Lord, I believe you when you speak. Lord, fulfillment, it'll come in its time, in your time. And it's not my time, but it's your time. But it will come because of who you are. Everybody say, I'm Joseph. Because like Joseph, you're going to have increased faith through the Spirit-led life process that God brings you through. Because faith pleases God, and faith is that pure gold that God wants to establish firmly in your life, that you can reflect the person, the glory, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and make a difference in this world. Embrace the process. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you so much. You are so faithful. You're beyond faithful. You define the word faithful. Lord, when we're in places that we just don't think correspond with what we thought was your will, what we thought was your direction, when our circumstances conflict with what we have heard or we thought we heard from you, God, we say that you're faithful. We say that you're true. We say that you will fulfill every word that you have spoken, and your will be performed. Lord, though they be dry bones, they will get flesh and sinew and life breathed into them. Though we are walking in a place where we thought we would never be, we will be in a place where you knew we would find in your will and in your way. Lord, help us to be faithful in the midst of your process of growing our faith. In the name of Jesus, amen.
you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.